turn over to Exodus 19. Father, come to open this book again, Lord. And Lord, it doesn't mean that we're so important. It's not it. It does mean that you do have some people, I believe it all in my heart, who believe this is the Word of God and believe that our instructions come from this book. And Lord, we need your help to understand it. We need your power to be able to proclaim it and it be right. Father, God forbid that we try to teach anything that be wrong. It's not worth the effort and the time. It's not worth the effort to study hours upon hours, dear Lord, and then teach an error. I mean, intentionally. A lot of messages would be easy to preach if you were preaching just for the surface, for people to be advanced in their job or be advanced in communities or learn something to excel as far as public life is concerned. There's a lot of books out there on that people go any way. But Lord, we'll open your book tonight. We'll open God's holy word. And we're looking at something now that this world cares nothing about. That's the law of God. And we're asking you as we approach it slowly, carefully. Lord, we're asking you to help us understand it and then put it together in words so others can understand and get an enlightenment about God's law and help us put it together, reconcile it together as we look at the New Testament of grace and mercy and look at the Old Testament of what God is doing in giving the law to the nation of Israel and also that which the world can adapt and it'll work for the world, much so as Israel. And Father, realize how short we come in keeping it and then send the whole picture that God has of redeeming the people unto himself. Lord, thank you. Who knows? Sometimes you wonder what it'd be to live years ago, but we're for this age. I believe you raised us up for this age, Lord. And life is speedily passing by, and I believe you'd have us to stand on your word no matter what happens. Please give us the ability to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, I was going to read verses 9 through 25. I'm going to read that in just a minute. Let me give you a little bit more introduction. We said, first of all, that God's law reflects God's character. It's very important. As we get into this, you're going to see more of that at the time. God's law is not a primitive code designed only for the Old Testament. I hear this all the time. You get to talk to somebody about the law of God, and they say, but that's for the Old Testament. That's for the Old Testament. It can't be for the New Testament. I'm under grace. I'm not under law. And by the way, I understand that I'm under grace and not under law, but that doesn't mean that law doesn't have an effect upon me. God's law is just as much bound to me as it is the Old Testament. The only thing about it is it can't curse me. Praise his name for that. It can never curse me. It can show me where I'm wrong. It can be a schoolmaster to bring the unsaved to Jesus Christ. But once you get under the blood, it can't curse you at all. So here, this is not a primitive code that's designed only for the Old Testament. They are God's standards, hear me, God's laws are God's standards for judging this world. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you turn there with me, we'll read again. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and down about verse 22, I want to read a few verses here. It said, again, he said, and Moses is rehearsing what has taken place over here, which we're fixing to read in just a moment. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tablets of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. It's interesting. They couldn't go to the mount. They couldn't touch it. But they could listen to what God said when Moses was going up on the mount. And here they're looking at the scene that God demonstrated when he gave Moses the law for his people to abide by. Now watch verse 25. He said, now therefore, why would we die? Why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Now it must have been loud, hadn't it? We know it's loud like a trumpet. It must have been very loud. And they're saying that this is so fearful. The fire and one thing to see, but the voice to hear God speaking is so terrible in what is going on that they say that if we hear the voice of our Lord God anymore, then we're going to die. They literally, it struck fear to them, even though they were staying away from the mountain. He said, for who is there of all flesh that have heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and live. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord God, our God shall say. Now, they're telling Moses, go and hear all he had to say and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Now, do you think they meant that? Yes. While the smoke fires on the mountain, smoke's on the mountain, the voice has been heard. Yes. But isn't it interesting? Moses, what a great privilege it is to see the presence of God. What a great honor it is to hear the voice of God speaking to men, and men being able to speak to God as far as Moses is concerned. But now, we don't want that no more. Moses, let him speak through you. Whatever he tells you to do, we'll do. That's a lie. They don't do what he said do. But it's easier to disobey a man, even if he says he comes from God, than it is to disobey God. Would you at least say amen to that? So what has happened here, they've said, we don't want God to talk to us no more because we know we shake when he talks to us. But let him talk to you and you come talk to us. See, it waters it down a little bit, it seems, certainly after periods of years. Even though Moses was very strong, and a lot of things happened to them even after this that should have woke them up. I mean, the ground opened up and swallowed a bunch of them one time. And there was a great thing, earthquakes and things took place, but yet it's not like it was when God was speaking to them. And then they said, and the Lord, at this time though, when they said this, God gave them, even though he knew different, the benefit of the doubt at this time. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, which ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard of the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Now, it's interesting. In Exodus chapter 31, if you turn there with me just quickly and look at verse 18. And here Moses, God said to Moses, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Now it's interesting because in chapter 20, we don't have it written here that we know of. He gives us this law, and it seemed like that as we go into that, but now we see it's written. You know, the first time he comes down, Israel's already backslid on God, and he throws the tablets to them, breaks them, and then crushes it up and make them drink of it out of the bitterness of it at that time. So God's law was a visual aid pointing towards the work of Jesus Christ when he should come, Israel's Messiah, and also, according to Galatians, a schoolmaster for people to see when the Spirit of God convicted them in the gospel. The law would be a factor to bring as a schoolmaster to let them see how much they need what has been offered, because the law itself can only do it, just condemn. And before Christ came into our hearts, God's law convicted and condemned us as the gospel has been preached, because we begin to make excuses about things. God's law sets forth, it's got to be this way, or if not, there's a penalty. And we find out that we come short of keeping that law. And there's reasons for that. Here's the thing. Man cannot, and I've said before, keep the law due to his sinful nature. This is a fact. But wait a minute. We cannot use the fact of sin as an excuse for breaking the law. You want me to say that again? It is a fact that we can't keep the law. But I can't use, and you cannot use that, you know, well, if I can't keep the law, then that's a good reason why I break the law. We cannot use the fact of sin that causes me to break the law as an excuse for me to break God's law. So in the age of grace, and I'm going to show you something to me, it's a wonderful thing, I believe, that God showed me recently in trying to understand law and grace in the age of grace. Because many people say, well, you know, you people say you're under grace, and that gives you opportunity to just, the law has no effect on you, so you live like you want to live instead of listening to the law. No, they don't understand what law and grace does. And when you do, at least understand a little bit, it helps you out in what you know to do. Now, God's law has become a guide as a child of God. It's become a guide to help us, like a manual of a conduct. You go into the service, they'll give you a manual. That manual becomes all the guidelines that's needed for the company or battalion or division who you're in. You go to a company. Years ago, every department had a manual, small, large, that when a person came in, there's a guideline that they had to guide by. Well, for the child of God now, this law is kind of a guideline to help us in the Christian life to manifest the character of God instead of manifesting our own character in this life. And so there are other sins. As you look at the commandments, someone said, why just the 10? And only 10, but look at all the sins in the Bible. Did you know just about if you look at somehow or another, you could categorize most sins under the 10? I mean, just for example, for instance, adultery covers also lust in the heart. It's interesting, murder covers hate. Do you know that? And we'll look at some of that later when we get into these different things. Now, when you analyze this, the scriptures in chapter 19, and come down as God now is speaking before he actually lays these laws out. Oftentimes, when we read this, oftentimes Christians are charged about just simply not appreciating God's law when you say you're saved by God's grace. They say we preach the grace of God and therefore just live like we want to live. Many think that we despise and reject the law because we say in grace. And that's not so. I don't think any of us understand the law enough to really know all about it, but we know enough the fact that we don't reject God's law just because we're saved by God's grace. And since we claim to be saved, they say we violate at will and break the law with no care whatsoever. I don't do that. I don't think you do either. Someone who's playing church may say, well, you know, grace, I don't know about it, but I got it, and just live like the devil. You don't have grace if you live like the devil. You may have grace that God lets you live, but you don't have saving grace. What I'm saying about that. And so here, turn to Michael chapter 6 with me just a moment. In Michael chapter 6 and verse 8, God said, he that hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, God lifts high those who walk right, and try to understand the scriptures, and he sets forth things that are wrong in the heart. God's law expresses part of God's nature and character in this life. God's law is God's will for man. God's law is the mind of God. God's law is a transcript of God's mind. And it's in there a few words that covers big territories at the time. And so when we look at at one's life who actually been saved, they are more like trying to bring about the character of God by obeying God, even in the law where they can. But thank God that the law will bring a curse if it's broken. God has paid the price for you and I. And this is done that all might be able to see God's character in us as we're now born again children of God. Today, many people feel that there are no norm for determining what right and wrong. They say, well, there's just nothing that really that's normal for right and wrong. Yes, there is the law of God. The law of God is the norm for right and wrong in God's creation in our particular day. Now, hear me. The law itself does not enforce itself. You ever thought about that? The law is a powerful thing. The Bible says it's good. It's perfect. It's holy. But the law does not enforce itself. It states the principle. And it has a penalty. And the penalty must be met when the law is broken. It isn't like our country. It's not corrupt. Where our courts are corrupt. God's court's not corrupt. He may delay his punishment, but if the blood don't cover it, it's going to be punished. If the blood does cover it, it's already been punished. You see what I'm saying? It's been paid for. So the law itself does not enforce itself. Hear this carefully. The law knows no person. The law literally plays no favors. The law has no pets. The thing about it is, if the law has favor, or if the law has persons that they favor, if the law has pets that they favor, it is no longer law. Because it's not justice. And the thing about it, God's law does not change anything. It sets what it sets. And when you do that, a judge who rules otherwise is crooked. If the judge uses the law to favor someone, if a judge uses the law to make a pet out of someone or to gain out of someone, then, ladies and gentlemen, that judge is a crook. God's law is straight, but it's right and it's holy. It's a wonderful thing. Now, let me give you an illustration. I'm not going to read it tonight. We'll read it next week. I'm going to give you this illustration tonight about when you think about God's law and how it works. I love science. And you've always heard the fact of what knows what gravitation is. Did you know the law of gravitation is working all the time, especially around the planet Earth? Would you agree with that? In other words, if you go up and don't go far enough, you're going to come down. And the further you go up, the harder you're going to come down. Why? Because of the law of gravitation. I think we understand that. Because of the law of gravitation, we stay on this earth. We walk. But then how are you going to overcome the law of gravitation? There's another law that's been discovered. The Wright brothers started it. It may have been discovered before them, but we know that, as far as we know, actually. It's called the law of aerodynamics. So here's gravitation, pulling down all the time. It is operating. It will always operate until Jesus comes and God makes everything. I don't know what's going to be in heaven. We'll be able to go everywhere, but we'll be able to function in a glorified body. That law of gravitation is coming down. The only way to overcome the law of gravitation is the law of aerodynamics. Now, you get a plane and you start flying and begin to work in the law of aerodynamics, and it will override the law of gravitation. But it doesn't mean that the law of gravitation is still not working. I want you to hear this now, and I'm going to take it slow. You'll be 5 minutes, a little bit 5 minutes longer. Just because the law of aerodynamics can overcome the law of gravitation doesn't mean that at the moment that happens that the law of gravitation is not still working. It's still working. Now, looking at that recently, a few weeks ago, boy, I said, hey, amen. That's the best example I've ever seen of grace in the law. God's law is given. It's right, it's holy, it's good. It will stand throughout eternity. It will never change. But then along about 2,000 years ago, in God's marvelous grace that was from the foundation of the world, His Son, the Lord Jesus, came. And the day I trusted Christ as Savior, under the condemnation of the law, which is like the gravitation for my example, I have grace, which in turn rises me above the law. Why? Because the curse has been removed. Hey, but just because I'm in grace doesn't mean that the law is still not working. God had just removed the consequence of the law off of me. Now, the only difference is this. Gravitation will cease one day because we won't need it with the glorified body. But God's law will never cease. Aerodynamics is needed now. And if a person was using aerodynamics somewhere along the line, if the aerodynamics stopped, the gravitation pull would bring you to your death. I got news for you. The grace of God will never stop.
Amen.
See how we're saved? The grace of God will never stop. If you're in, the grace of God will keep you, even though the law will be forever, the grace of God will be forever, and the curse can never reach us again. I need to understand that as I approach this, because then I'm going to be more concentrated on, as I look at the individual commandments, how it's manifesting God, rejoicing over the fact that what God is showing me now is something that's great. Because when a person says, well, all you people of grace think you put God's law down. No, I tell you this, we probably come closer, if there is anything such as closer keeping it, than anybody else to those who are saved by God's grace. Because I tell you this, if you're saved and something happens that you know in the unknown break God's law, your heart will be pricked and so will mine. It just be prayed. That's all there is to it. So because of God's grace, it doesn't mean that God's law does not work. It means that grace overrides God's law by paying the penalty. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty, so therefore now He can offer us the grace, which in turn will bring us out from under the curse.
No wonder Jesus is so precious. No wonder that we want to preach. No wonder we're not ashamed of him. No wonder. I had talked to a fellow today from another place, out of a good ways from here. And we was talking about going somewhere and speaking. And I said, well, I want to ask you one question. Can Jesus' name be preached there? He said, you better believe he can. He said, why? I said, because there's no use for me to go if I can't preach in Jesus' name. Because when I go there, I'm going to preach in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you everything about Christ. Why? Because I'm telling you right now. Without that, the law would curse us all. There's not going to be standing before God one day and say, Lord, you know, of all of these laws, we're kind of like the man in the New Testament. We kept them all, observed them all. And the Lord can show if you have one link where you missed it, you're guilty of the whole thing. Isn't that a sad situation? One place guilty of the whole thing. I'm glad that we have risen above it by God's marvelous grace. And even though the law is still holy and right and just, the grace of God has raised us above. Because the grace has paid the sin debt so that we can go free. And now you see God at a different level. If God would do that for me, why in the name of heaven would I intentionally break his law just because I could? See what I'm saying? Father in heaven, thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, I hate to get on these little errors, but we need to lay the foundation before we get into the meat of the law. And that's what we're fixing to do. Next week, we'll look at these verses. And, the Lord, I pray that you'd help us take a step. We got plenty of time until Jesus comes. And if you come before we finish it, we'll understand it better then. And he'll do the teaching on the other side. And so, Lord, I pray you'd make it real to us. Make it a blessing to us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see our Father, our God, even you yourself. Holy Spirit, help us see our Father and Jesus in a way that we've never seen him before. Make him real to us, Lord. Make him. Let us see the greatness of him. Let us see how wonderful he is and the power that he has. And yet, out of a loving way, with just complete compassion, loved us enough that Jesus came and died for us. Please help us see him a different light than we've ever seen him before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.